for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Exalted Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, July the 7th, 2000. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. As Father, just as your children, we come to love you and to give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Thank you for healing, Lord. Thank you for people that love you enough to pray for you, Lord. I just thank you, and I praise you and give you the glory this afternoon. I thank you for peace and the love of God, which passes all understanding. Father, as we gather together now in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Father, that I say nothing that brings confusion. And I bind the spirit of confusion up here in the name of Jesus. I bind the works of darkness, any works of darkness that would try to work in any way in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I just ask you to give us eyes to see with spiritually, ears to hear with spiritually, and a heart that understands your word, to receive your word. Give us good ground that the word will come in and grow in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I want to share some this afternoon. Have you started that? Earth or hear the word of the Lord. That's what the topic of my sermon this afternoon. Earth, O earth, hear the word of the Lord. And I'm not talking about the ground under us. I'm talking about this earth. Isaiah in chapter 6. You know, I've used that scripture a time or two about earth, O earth. I'm going to give it to you in the word in a minute. But over in Isaiah, and I think the reason the Lord really had shown me that I needed to share this afternoon, even after all the scriptures that I gave yesterday afternoon and all that Doc said and all that Glenn said, my two helpers, that I had people come up to me and wanted to argue the word on healing and on what you eat. And I said, you know, I'm not going to debate with you. I believe what I believe, and I know what I know, and I know that God's kept me healed and able to walk at my age without doctors and medication. Now, if you want to go the other way, that's between you and the Lord. I didn't come up here to try to convince you of anything. I came up here to just share the word with you. You do with it what you want to. I know, but it's for me and this house. It's the house I got to talk about now. We're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to walk in the word, and we're going to walk in healing. And so I want to share with you this afternoon of how I work, I can only tell you how it works for me, okay? How I stand on the word and how it works for me. Now, Brother Frank did a lot of it down there in one way this morning, but I said, Lord, he's saying a lot of things that I'm already planning to teach, and the Lord says, you go back and teach what you got and drive it home. So we're going to drive it home. Excuse me. Over in Isaiah in chapter 6, after I finished studying this morning, the Lord told me to go to Isaiah. And I was saying to the Lord, Lord, why are we always having to say here? And then we go over to Matthew in the 11th chapter of Matthew, and Jesus is talking over there, and he said, Matthew 11, verse 15, just got to go to 11 and not 12. He said in verse 15, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And we know over in Revelation that he keeps talking and saying, ye that have ears to hear and eyes to see, he's telling us unless we hear spiritually and see spiritually, we're not going to receive a walk in the Word of God. We're not going to walk as an overcomer. And so as I was looking at that this morning, I said, Lord, this is our problem. I talk about hearing people that don't hear. We hear it, and it's good. We hear stuff. That's good. And then walk out and totally forget what we've heard. because the enemy wants to steal it. And what we've got to do is say, Lord, you open my spiritual ears. Our spiritual ears. Jesus knew everyone had ears and eyes, and so did God when he said that through Isaiah, and when Isaiah was writing it. First, they were the eyes of I know he was talking about the Jewish people, the Israelites, that they were, because they were not going to receive Jesus, they were blinded and spiritually deaf and dumb. But then Jesus came and he said, now I've come. You know, he said to Peter over in Matthew 16, when he asked Peter, who do you say I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, I'm going to build my church upon that revelation, not upon Peter. He's going to build it upon the revelation he gave Peter. And he said, when you get it by the Spirit, that revealed knowledge, when he revealed it to you, the gates of hell will not take it away from you. It can't prevail against you. In other words, as Brother Frank was saying, it's one when you know who you are and you know what you have, the devil can't steal from you. He'll come at you. He'll try. He'll beat you over the head like he did me last night. Y'all, I had a terrible night. I cried and cried and cried. I had cried till, and this morning until I couldn't hardly talk. So just full of grief. No, just been hurt. You say, get hurt? Yeah, I'm not dead yet. I'm dying. Boy, many more days like last night and today, I'll be dead physically. I mean, the flesh. I praise the Lord. The Lord's working, and I praise the Lord for it. But what I'm saying is we've got to know it by the Spirit, and we've got to receive it by the Spirit. And when we know it, and I've been saying this for years, and some of you remember me saying, when you know that 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 you know, nobody can take it away from you. They come up and they argue with you and they debate. It's really funny, you know. Usually it's the men I have to deal with. And then I get some that are just as nice as they can be and sweet, and they come up there and they have questions they want to ask. I stand on my tiptoes. So I get my shoes back on. Well, they, you know, you enjoy. But they don't need to come up and show me how smart they are. I know they're smart. They tell me they are. And I know who I am too. And I have the mind of Christ. And he's still changing me and teaching me. I don't know anything. Sometimes I think I don't know anything, especially when I get before the Lord and say, "But Lord," but he said, "If we ask, he'll show us." So, anyways, he said, "He that has ears, now we got these ears, but we want our spiritual ears open and our spiritual eyes, so we can see and hear it and understand it by the Spirit. And when we do, then it's ours." Okay. Okay, go to Jeremiah. I said all that. Let's go to Jeremiah. And just one verse of Scripture, but I want you to see this verse. I want you to look at it. Have this sweet old man in our church, Lord, he's a blessing. You gave him. God's up one side of my church and down the other. I said, Lord, you really don't want me to stay as pastor of this church. Please, Lord, send somebody to take it. Anyways, he says, he sits there, he gets him a he would sit there with his Bible, and he followed you in the Scripture, and then he wrote it down, and he went home, he'd come back and talk to my husband about it. And Jim said, I get so tired of him doing that to me. I said, I'm glad it's you and not me. But now he sits there, he won't open his Bible, he sits there and he stares at me like this. And I said, will you read that word and quit looking at me? He said, you're terrible. Yeah, I am, because I like him. I guess he's gotten to this place where he's 90. Plays a violin. And he's a real sweet guy. But he's older than me. Let's leave it like that. But anyways, I tell him, I said, Morton, if you will read it and as you go, as I'm reading it, and then write it down. Your eyes see it, your ears hear it, and then you write it down, and as you, the Scripture down, and then later go home and look at your Scripture. You get it three ways. And besides that, you don't sit there and, anyways. And in verse 29 in Isaiah 22, Jeremiah, excuse me, what did I say? I'm all right. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 29. He says, O earth, earth, hear the word of the Lord. Now, Jeremiah's telling us there that the earth, he's speaking, and if you go on reading, he's speaking to the whole earth, but you apply that to your earth. I'm going to give you a scripture to show you that you are earth. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 21. Y'all forgive me, I'll get with it in a minute. 32, 21. Okay, let's bind the confusion that's trying to work on me. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Bind it, Gene, in the name of Jesus. Chapter 2 in Genesis. I'm going to read you the scripture that I quoted to you a while ago, okay? When I do things like this, people say, you're tired. No, I'm not tired. It's just the enemy, the same spirit that was working up here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind confusion over this room. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I cancel any assignments been loosed up here to disrupt or to attack. In Jesus' name. And I ask you to put a hedge around me that nothing can hinder what you've given me to share. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I do praise you. Okay, in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So what I want you to look there, see, is that God made us. You know, I know that you know these scriptures. I know that you know you're made out of dust, but I want you to see this. God made this earth here out of this body. And we are, it is our earth. It's the earth that we're in. God lives in it. And, I could preach you a sermon on two trees in there. The tree of knowledge and the tree of life is in this body of ours. There's two kingdoms in us. And so we're at war within ourselves to overcome what's in us. But what I want you to see this afternoon is that God has given you authority over this body. It's dust. It's made from dust. And over in Jeremiah, when he said, earth, hear the word of the Lord. So I say to my body lots of times, body, you hear what I'm saying to you. I have authority over you, body. I take dominion over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I command you to hear. Do you ever think your body may have your flesh may have a mind of its own? Have you ever thought about that? I had never thought about it until a couple years ago. Dr. Noel came up to me. I was walking across the back of the church, or from the church, whichever one you want to call it, but back there by the book tables. And he had been, I don't know what he'd been doing, but he said, hey, Bill, I'll tell you something. And he started telling me about a friend, a doctor of his, that had put somebody on a diet. I wonder if he was insinuating I was getting fat. I'm real quick. It's been 2 years that I just out here thought about it. But he said his friend had some lady, had this lady on a diet, and she was just doing great till she reached a certain point, and she quit. She just, the diet didn't work. And he said, have you ever thought about this? And so he said to me that the doctor said to him, you know what? It was just like the body had a mind of its own. And it had gotten used, accustomed to the diet that individual's on, and he had to change it. And I got to thinking about that. Keep that in mind, because I'm going to give you a scripture in a little bit to show you something. But I got to thinking about it, that it's got to be true. Do you ever go eat when you're really not hungry? I did that last night because I was upset. Two pieces of toast with real butter on it. I had been out to eat. Eat like pigs. Have a hot fudge sundae with the cherry on it, and nuts, and the whole thing. Hey, I couldn't have been hungry. And I toasted that bread and put peanut butter on, sat down, and I was eating it. And I thought, what am I doing? And I went up and threw it in the garbage. I promise you, I threw it in the garbage. But I was upset, and when you get upset or get bored, honey, I most times just get the jar and a spoon. I had to quit buying it because it was just doing more things for me than I wanted. Still having to work on it. But I had brought some over here. But I'll tell you this, that we will do this. We will go and eat when we're upset, when we're lonely, when we're bored. And if you ever sit down and watch TV, you got to have something in your mouth because it's so boring to watch it. It's so awful. I don't do a whole lot of it, but I keep it on sometimes for the noise. There's times when I can't stand any kind of the noise around me. So where I live, it gets real noisy with cars because I live right on the highway. But anyways, we do things. We put food in this body of ours when we, and I'm saying food, but we desecrate it. But we have authority over it. And I had been at home. What I do to stop me from eating, because I had lost 5 pounds before I came over here, and I know that I haven't gained it back, regardless of what I've eaten since I've been here. Really, I'm not receiving it back. But I had been, I would bind the flesh. I would bind the desire in my flesh, that false appetite that was in my flesh. I said, no, you're not hungry. You're just lying. It's a lying spirit to start with, and my body, this flesh is going to obey the word. It's going to come in line with the word of God because the Lord's given us authority over it. And so the enemy wants to tell us you can't do that. He's told me that many times, and I said, I always say, just hide and watch, because I know I can do anything this word says if I believe it. He says says whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. I'm going to give you that scripture in a little bit to show you that you can. Binding works for you, even to the flesh, if you believe it. If you believe that you can bind. Now, if you're just going to bind to try it, it won't work, okay? Okay, getting back to the dirt that we're made out of. This and I've been called dirt balls plenty of time by demons. I've been called a mud ball too, and they say, well, who do you think you are? No mud's going to tell me what to do. And I said, no, I'm not telling you, but I'm coming in my authority in Christ Jesus, and you will obey that name. It's him, it's not me you're obeying. But they just get so mad because, you know, they're mad at you now, first of all, because God came and he gave us dominion over this earth. In Genesis 1, he gave us, look across the page in my Bible, it says in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Did you know that you can, if you believe this scripture, you can take authority over everything in this earth? Didn't I believe that but me? I know Gene does. I know Gene does, because I pray a lot with this. And it works. And I know Fern does. Or I'm telling you. You have authority. When you see a storm coming, or a cloud, if you happen to, don't turn on TV, they're casting a spell. They really are. They're seeing what they see in the natural, but if you do hear them, if you happen to turn it on and they say there's a tornado coming, so I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and I call for the angels to go, and I take what I usually do. I ask the Father to send angels and stop that, send that thing down the river and let it dissipate so it will do no damage to anyone. And we have authority to do that. And I have literally, God really showed me to do that, I would pray for protection around my house and ask God to put angels around my house, and I'd say, storm, you will not come around me. You will part and go around me. See, I learned too by doing, and I have stood on my back porch and watched my trees get still and the trees around me bending, because God's word works when you speak it and you believe it. And we know this, but a lot of times the enemy will get us in fear, and we need to take care of the fear first. If you feel fear coming, bind it, rebuke it. There's a strong man of fear in the heavens that you really need to bind first, because he will project fear at you even though you have no fear. Maybe you're not fearful inside. And I shared a few of how the Lord revealed the strong man to me, and I'll tell some that hasn't heard it, that I was in bed one night. My husband and I had been in bed a while, and I woke up, and all of a sudden, I was so fearful. And I didn't know what I was fearful of. So I started binding fear and rebuking fear and casting out fear, because I bind, rebuke, and cast out. And nothing happened. I mean, I was still there. And I said, Lord, I've bound everything I can think of, fear of everything. Fear of the dark, fear of people, fear of this, fear of that. And I said, Lord, what's wrong? I haven't bound the right thing yet, because until you get the right spirit bound, it still works. And the Lord said, he's not in you. He's in the heavens, and he's projecting at you. So I went in, and I began to go in the heavens and bind the strong man of fear over our house and ask the Father to send angels to take him away. But he was projecting fear at me. So really, you know, fear can bring on a lot of things, especially a heart attack if you get in fear. Isn't that what the word said, that their heart's failing because of fear? So you have to ask the Father if you're buying things in you and it's not working. Ask the Father what it is, and He'll show you if we'll listen. And I was listening. I didn't want to have to wake my husband up. He was living so sound, and I didn't want to have to shake him and say, "Hey, I'm scared." He said to me, "Why don't you pray?" And I've been praying, so I knew. And I've learned a lot since I've been by myself for almost 8 months. That you bind and you leave it in the hands of the Lord. And the Lord told me one time, I was hearing all kinds of doors slam around me. I really think about four houses down from me, there was a drug, where they sell drugs, crack house. And I was saying, "Lord, you've got to remove that. That's too close to me. You've got to do something about it. I don't want the people hurt, but I want you to do something." And I just continued to pray. And one Sunday morning, I mean, I could have called the police. I could have done a lot of things. But I didn't want them to retaliate against me, because they would. And I was really praying. And one Sunday morning I started the church, there were three police cars down there. And there's not been anybody there since then. And the Lord did it, because I was just saying, "You got to do something, Lord, because that's too close to me. And I take authority over those drugs and all those people." I would see cars come in on Friday afternoon, you know, when people get paid, and they whirl in there, and they're just a minute, and zoom, they were gone. And I didn't think anything, but I knew something was going on, but I never thought about drugs until someone told me they knew someone that was going over there. And wherever they went, they sold drugs. So God honored it. And when we pray and believe and take authority with the Word, and we've got so much that God wants us to use it. Let's go to, can I wait? If I stop and let you do it, I'll lose my track. It really does keep me from, okay? I'll let you do it later if you'll remind me. You probably have to remind me, but we'll do it, okay? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It's very, Linda, a distraction to have. I had a couple yesterday afternoon that was giving me a real hard time. And you weren't there. They meant well, but it wasn't a whole lot of fun for me. Praise the Lord. I love them, and it all worked out fine. Praise the Lord. And Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, in verse 7, the Word tells us, let's read verse 6, is, "Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain of the wheel broken at the cistern." I heard someone read this or quote it not too long ago here at the church. He said, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." And you know that silver cord in the area of astral projection, soul travel, is what holds a body, a spirit to a person's body. And it says when it's broken, verse 6 says, when that cord is broken, then shall the dust return to the earth, and as it was, the body goes back to dust, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Did you ever see that silver cord? That silver cord is if you are. This is just a little side trip, but I take a lot of those when I take my liberty when I'm teaching. But if you know there's a human spirit astral projected into your house, and they do this, and a lot of people are not aware that they're in your house, but they come in and spy you out, and especially if you're a warrior, an intercessor, a warrior of God, both the same thing. But you need to know and ask the Lord, and I do this because it really, you can pray against them and tell them to go, and they know you don't see them, and they just stay. But if you'll go after that silver cord, they'll leave. Because they know if that cord is broken, they can't get back in their body. And so I say, "Lord, sever that cord in the name of Jesus." And all of a sudden, they've just gone like that. I've dealt with them in people the same way. They would come in and go into someone that I'm doing deliverance on. And a lot of people don't even deal with the human spirits. And many times when they're doing deliverance and they're after something that's a big spirit or something in someone, they think they're getting it out, and all they're doing is getting that human spirit that astral projected into that person. You say, how do they do that? It's witchcraft and Satanism. And when a person's getting deliverance, and I've only run into this when I'm going after a strong man or one of these that have been there a long time that has a, you know, powerful spirit, that they'll come in. And I've had the Lord tell me that it was there. And I have asked them where they came from. And they said, oh, I'm so-and-so, like the demon I'm after. I said, no, if you don't tell me, I'm going to seal you in there so you can't get out. I'd just love to do that. They get so mad at me. Those spirits get so mad at me. They can't get out, so I let them. You see, God has given us authority. When you know you've got that authority, that thing has hindered the deliverance of that individual, and the devil has sent, people have sent that thing there to stop them from getting real deliverance. And I said, if you don't tell me where you came from, you're not going to leave. I'm telling me, well, I'll torment her. And I said, no, you won't, because I'll have the angels of the Lord put you in a box where you can't. You say you can't do that. Well, over in Joshua, they put Joshua when they put those kings in the five kings. In the cage, same thing. God gives us authority. You can do what you believe for. I have people tell me you can't do that. I said, come over to my house, come over to my church. I'll show you. I don't know, show you. You can get over there and watch it. That's what God does. God's given us authority, and the devil doesn't want us to believe it. And the enemy talks to you now. The little girl yesterday afternoon came to me, talking to me. I was fixing to go out of the church, and she said, I God talked to you. And then she told me some stuff, and I said, that's the devil. He's lying to you. Don't believe him. Tell him he's a liar. Bind him up and tell him to leave you alone in the name of Jesus. Don't listen to him. Don't believe him. So how do you believe what you're believing? I hear what the Lord's saying, and then the demons confirm it. People say, don't let devils talk. Well, I don't care if they talk. I don't have to listen. But sometimes I say something I can get some information out of. And that's when I'm all ears, but I just ignore, you know, as far as they're concerned, I'm not paying them any mind. And sometimes I'll just go to bind them. I got one lady, I'll be honest with you, I've never been able to bind the spirits in her. Never. Never. You say, well, I thought you'd believe. I believe. I believe if I get a handful of Kleenex and stick them in her mouth, she can't curse me. And I do it. She knows I do it. She knows I'm going to do it. And I have bound that thing. It's the beast. I'm dealing with the beast. And he looked at me and he said, I'll see you dead before I come out. And I said, I'll see you in hell. You're going to go there and you're going to burn. And you are going to burn. And I'm going to stand on the bank and watch you. It infuriates me sometimes, that thing. We're getting out. It just takes a lot of prayer. And she's really working at it now. So she has told me the next time, she says, I'm believing the next time you do deliverance on me, this thing's going. Well, I believe it was going to go 6 years ago, whenever it was we found it. It seemed to me like it's been forever. Honey, I don't give up. It may take, it won't take that long, but if it takes two times more, one time more, I'll get it out. We'll get it out of her. God's going to do it. You know, it talks over in Daniel about, I'm not going to Daniel, but it talks about the demons that come to wear the saints out. And this, I really believe this was one of them, trying to make us give up. And we wouldn't do it. But anyways, go on. That has nothing to do really with, but I did want you to see that the body's going back to dust. But I wanted to show you this about this gold, the silver cord, that once it's broken with a human spirit, the body, the person can't get back in it. And it tells us here that the body will go back to dust. And if you ever get an opportunity to talk to somebody that's like if you're praying to someone that's in witchcraft, if they'll be honest with you, they'll tell you this. Because I know that I talked to a witch that was sent to us. We thought she wanted to be delivered. So let's go, delivered. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 45 to show you. I've quoted this a lot of times. So I want you to look at this in verse 26. I believe that's the one I want. Wait a minute. No. I want verse 11. 45, verse 11. Couldn't go to 26, so it didn't have 26, did it? I was looking at the top of the page on another chapter. Okay, in verse 11, let's read it. It says, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. And concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. You know, over in John's gospel, Jesus said when the Holy Ghost has come, that he would teach us, show us things to come. So, and he also said the Holy Spirit would reveal Jesus to us. But here, but over in John, he said that he would show us things to come. And here's God saying in Isaiah, he said, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. But the one I want you to look at is concerning the works of my hand, command you me. Aren't we the works of his hands? Didn't he make us out of the dust of the ground? Now, I've used this scripture many times in the area of commanding demons and commanding, say, Lord, you know, you made the heavens, you made the sun, you made the moon, the stars, you made all things. And so, then you said, commanding, concerning the works of your hands that you give, when he's saying commanding, he said, you do it with authority. When you look that word commanding up, it says, you take authority over these things. That's what it's really saying. If you say, well, now, Lord, I just kind of wish it would quit raining, you know, and it wouldn't storm. Well, it'll probably rain harder. But if you say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I was telling someone the other day, I think I was telling Doreen and Vita, we were coming in. I said, you know, one time, I think that's what I told you, I had gone to Tupelo, Mississippi with a lady in Memphis. We'd gone there to minister in a church. And coming back, it started raining so hard, and I was driving. And I was just, we were both tired. We had 2 days of ministry, and we were both just real tired, and it just rained so hard I couldn't see the road. And I said, Lord, part this rain like you parted the Red Sea. I cannot see in this, Lord, and I know this is not you. You said to ask, and I'm saying, Lord, part the rain. And I was driving home, and I looked, and I thought, hey, praise the Lord. I was just about as surprised as anybody else because I didn't know enough about the word and the authority of that God had given us then. I was just charismatic. And I saw God part it. And I looked over here and it was sheets of rain. I mean white sheets on each side of the road. And going down the road, it was just a little mist light falling. And it was that way all the way home. And when we got to her house, the bottom fell out, so to speak. And I said, Lord, thank you. I praise you. I just learned, even if I didn't even know what I had, I knew that when I asked God, he did it. And, you know, you just don't know how they'll build faith on you. And that was 25 years ago, before I got into deliverance. About 6 years before I got into deliverance. But what he's saying here, anything that he made the birds, he made the bees, he made everything. And we need to rebuke them. I went around my house, around my yard. I was really sick of the rabbits. They were multiplying faster than I could run them off. My husband used to say they really did multiply faster, and I really believe that because I was finding them this big, and this big, all in my yard. I'm not kidding. It was terrible. So my son came over there, and I told y'all about him walking with me with the moles. The moles tried to take my yard, so we just went. I got a great big bottle of oil, and we just went corner to corner, and I was doing it like this, and we was rebuking and binding everything out of my yard. And I haven't seen any rabbits since then. Now, haven't done that to squirrels, but they don't bother my roses, and not yet. I don't think they do. Only thing they do is plant pecans at the foot of the rose bush, but I can always pull those up. But see, God said, command in the thing works of his hand, command you me. And what it does for you and I, we're not commanding God to do anything. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. He said, I've given you authority over the works of my hand. Genesis 1:26. He said, he's given us dominion over it. And there was time when we really, really believed that, wasn't it? We left our first love. We forgot. That we let things slip. You know, Paul talks about, I think it's Paul, somebody in the epistle said, we're not to let these things slip. And we have let them slip. And God says we need to go back. And what we're trying to do, what we're believing to do, is we study, teach this and share this. Don't go sleep on me now. Our mind and spirit are sleeping this on you. But anyways, what we're trying to do is to, what we're seeking to do is to see that we have authority over this ground. We also have it over your land. You do have it over that land. Now, I'm not really as much talking about it as I am this one. You have authority. Now, what are you going to do if you get in pain and get sick by yourself? You can't get to the phone like I was that night. I could have got the phone, but who was there to call? So I called on the healer, and God healed me. The devil tried to kill me. He knew I was by myself. He knew there was no one I could call in the middle of the night because the people I normally called wasn't even at home, and they'd left and gone up in the north, up north somewhere. They weren't going to be back till the 16th of the month, she told me the date, and I thought, just don't tell me that. The devil heard it. And when the devil hears what, you know, that's why it's so important to be careful what you say. The devil is listening. You say, well, you're all you think about. Yeah, I'm thinking, I'm teaching about the devil. and teaching how you've got authority over him. And he's got his little imps around listening to what we say, and he'll bring it to pass if you're not careful. When I want to share something about deliverance with someone, like I'm coming from church or something, and we're talking, I bind the ears of the demons so they can't hear. And I ask the Father to always say, Father, put a knot in their tongue so they can't talk. Because they do. They come in. But for me, spirits will come in and spy on you. Look at Psalms 81. We're talking about your authority. Not 81, excuse me. Psalms 8. I knew I was going to do that. Praise the Lord. That's okay. I corrected it. My husband loves to sing this psalm. We sang it in our church. And it was good to sing it because you were getting the word in your spirit. You'll remember it if you sing them. In Psalms 8, and I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, Lord, get this up where I can get under the light. He said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. He said, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemy, that thou might fill the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand, and has put all things under his feet. He's given us dominion over the works of his hands, everything he's prayed to his hands, and he's put the enemy under our feet. He's under your feet whether you know it or not. And he's given you authority over the works of his hands. And he says, did you ever stop to think about what this verse says? He says, what is man? Verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? In other words, that he knows us. He hears us. He knows you by name. God told me that one time when somebody had hurt me real bad. He said, I was sitting in the back of a car. I was coming back from a meeting. And I said, Lord, I was talking to the Lord. And he said, I know you by name. I called you by name. I know your name. And it just blessed me because it removed the pain that I was going through. But I praise the Lord that he does know my name, don't you? He loves us. He really does. But he said, thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Now, we've been getting deliverance from all kinds of things. And when the enemy comes back, he will come back and try to put something on you. When he does, you need to be alert, aware. If you get angry at someone, if you get hurt or get mad, you need to stop instantly and repent. Whatever comes out of your mouth, you know, I'm going to get on it, Lord willing, that we need to ask the Lord to sew this thing up sometimes. A zipper won't work because we'll unzip it and go to work. Because it's the thing that gets us in trouble. And God is trying to get us delivered from all this stuff and get us where the flesh doesn't get riled up. I've been there. I told you I was battling. Walking the floor and said, Lord, I can't even praise you. I'm telling you, it was horrible. I wanted to praise the Lord. I'd walk around like this. I'm by myself. Nobody's there but just me and Jesus. And I was hurting so bad. And I said, Lord, you said you're my healer. And I would do pain. I cast out all those stuff anyways. But, you know, we can do it. You've got authority over this. When you need someone to help you in deliverance is when you get in to get something that you cannot deal with that is bigger than you are. And the Lord always sends somebody to pray. I said, Lord, I'm hurting. I said, I need help. Send me someone. I said that to Dr. Nolan. Jane standing there. He said, I couldn't come. I said, I wasn't playing for you. I was just talking to him. He had been playing for me this morning when I came in church. But the Lord said, Gene, that's what she came over there. I said, Gene, I don't know why you stopped, but Lord, the Lord sent you because I prayed. And she came. I prayed the Lord said, you see, people said, like you? Sure, I'm human, and I'm just like you are. The ground is level. We're all right there together. And just because I teach the word and I'm a minister, doesn't mean I'm just so big mouth that I don't hide mine like most of the ministers do. Well, I'm certain you're perfect. Well, they ever I look at me, no, I'm not. So why hide it? Why try to hide it? But the thing I'm trying to tell you is that we have authority, but there is times when you do need some help. And that also comes with some of the, if you let it get a hold of you, which I had done, because I sat down in the church last night and let it get real hard. I should have got up and got out and battled it then, but I didn't do it. But anyways, we need to know that we do have authority over this. Okay? Okay, let's go on. I think I've made my point, but I'm not through yet. I'm gonna not only say it, but I'm gonna drive it in and I'll tell you something. No, I'm pointing my finger, but I'm not pointing at anyone in particular. I heard somebody doing that the other day, and I said this yesterday, I think, because when you point your finger at someone else, you got three coming back at you. And I got three at me this afternoon. I just praise the Lord for it. But let's go over to Genesis again in verse 19. Let's look at Genesis. chapter 3 and verse 19. Now, after Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord was telling Adam, he said, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. See, I thought it was talking about with dust. Well, here we're talking about, God said to Adam, said, you're going to go back to the ground. That's where he came from. He said, unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. So you can call yourself dust, you can call yourself dirt, you can call yourself whatever you want to. We're going back to the dust if we leave this earth before Jesus comes back. I pray to God we're all here when Jesus comes back. And I'm planning on being here. I've been planning it since I heard that what the Word said and understood what God was saying to me. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to give up without a fight. And the devil's going, I had someone prophesy to me the other day, said, when the Lord takes you home, something I wouldn't receive that part of it, because I wasn't going to go home, but I received the other part. He said, you're not going easy. He said, you're going to fight the devil all the way there. And I thought, well, I told the Lord I was going to do that. And here I got somebody come back tell me, puffed out at me, you're going to fight the devil all the way there. Right. I'm going to fight him as long as there's breath in my body. Even if there's nobody to listen, I'll get outside in the yard and I'll fight him out there. Because, man, I go out and run him off my yard, too. I have gone out in my yard just to show you how bad spirits are. And I know some of y'all get tired of listening about demons. I'm trying to get y'all to be demon fighters and to take authority over the earth that you live in to get your earth delivered and go around and tell everybody else they don't have to have the enemy in theirs. But I walk around in my yard and I run into all kinds of demons out there. Don't you know they're in your yard? I thank God I don't see all of them. You know, that's a protection from the Lord. If you could see what was around you, you wouldn't be passive. You'd be upset. I bind you in Jesus' name. I bind you. I rebuke you. I cast you out. I tell you, we would. We wouldn't be passive. We wouldn't just say, well, I think you ought to go. It's like, you get out of here in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Man, I have gone down the street, gone into restaurants, and honestly I've seen those little ones I call fur balls on the sidewalk, and I think, oh boy, I'm glad I got on high heel shoes. I just wish it was doing something, you know, it's the spirit. And I've seen them crawl out of the, move out of the way as you walk along. Thank God I don't see them all. I just see some. I haven't asked the Lord to let me see them either, I'll tell you, because he shows me things, but we're protected. He protects us. Okay, go on. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, let's look at this scripture in Ephesians and just really look at something that we really need to believe in to get. Jesus brought us back out of the devil's hand. But we belong to the devil before we did God. I don't care who you are. There's only two sources. It's God and the devil. So we're either the devil's children or both ways. People are either the devil's children or God's children. We're God's children. But before we were born again, in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, the word says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Aren't you glad he's quickened you and made you alive? You know, he said over in Romans 8:11 says, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he'll quicken, make alive your mortal body. Well, he's made this body alive to him. And what we're trying to do is to get the temple cleansed and healed and delivered from all the ungodly stuff that's there. Oh, Lord, I just wish you would just let through praise just zap us and get them all out and free us and just let us live in the glory, in the glory. You know what? It would be wonderful. But you know what he's going to do? He's manifesting sons. Well, what do you think he's manifesting his sons for? Just to sit around and be glory and have glory bumps and dance. Well, we're going to do that. We're going to praise and worship him. But there's work going to be done here. All of the devil's work has got to be cleansed up. All this pornography, all this garbage has got to be gotten rid of. The things they've left here when the wicked are taken out and gone, then the earth has got to be cleaned up. Somebody's got to do it. All of God could do it. But you think God's going to want us? What are we going to do? What's he going to do with us? He's going to rule and reign on the earth 1,000 years, and these are physical things that he's going to have us get rid of. Don't you see that? Aren't we glad? I tell you, wouldn't it be wonderful now if there was no pornography, no TV, no announcers telling you lies, and newspapers they never, listen to me stutter, I don't stutter, I break that in the name of Jesus. Did you know that I never hear anybody say, oh, there's good news, I've got to share it on the news. All they say is there's bad news, there's death, there's this, and there's, oh, don't watch it. I'll watch it. But I like to hear somebody get up and say, good news, Jesus is here. And he's everyone's working together in harmony and they're worshiping, praising God. Look at, and TV camera can show people, think about it. Think about it. But God has got to have sons of God. You say, well, we're fighting the devil here. That's true now. But when Jesus comes back to earth, by the sword of his mouth, he's going to get rid of all this stuff. And the scripture tells us in Revelation 20 that Satan will be bound 1,000 years. The beast and false prophet's already going to be put in the lake of fire, but the devil's going to be bound 1,000 years, and then he's going to be loosed again. But just for a short time. You know what he's being loosed for? There are going to be children born in that kingdom age. And they have a will. So they have been in a perfect environment. But man is what he is. And there's going to be some that are going to rebel and going to follow the devil for a short season. And then God's going to come and Jesus is going to totally clean it up. That's what the word says. He says he's loosed for a season, you know, a short time. I forgot what it says in Revelation 20. When you read that, the devil's bound for 1,000 years, for 1,000-year reign of Christ upon the earth. And that's when I was talking about the sons of God, the manifested sons of God, will be the ones that will help bring the kingdom in and cleanse this earth. And then the devil will be loosed for a season, and those that are born during that 1,000 years that they're going to get an opportunity to exert their will. They will or they won't follow the Lord. And those that won't, then God's going to, the word tells us they're going to be cast into the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. And that's it. And then we can really shout. You know, God left us here to bring him in. And you know, the more warfare, you know why deliverance is so important, is to clean up God's temple and to bring the kingdom in. But it's also to tear down the powers of darkness, to work against them. We need to pull down the strongholds in the heavenlies. We need to go after principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in the heavenlies. We need to pray and loose God's angels to go forth. Say, Lord, I just call for the warrior angels to go forth and tear down the kingdom of darkness. Destroy the kingdom of darkness. We need the kingdom of darkness destroyed in us. That's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. You know, when the Lord began to teach me about the two kingdoms in man, he was showing me that all the way through the scriptures, there's always been two. There's been Adam and Eve, Adam and Cain and Abel, and then in the, was it Rachel, Rebecca, I guess, the twins that were born. And God said there's two nations in there. And you and I, we're God's garden, and he's been watering it and working in us, and he's trying to keep us from eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We mostly walk under the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he wants us to walk under his kingdom, under the tree of life. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if the Lord just had a tree of knowledge in the garden and Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree of life? You know, God gave man a will. That didn't cost you anything either. I'm just so full of overflowing. I just want to see God. I just want to see the Lord. My whole aim in life is to be in his presence and to see his glory. Just to see his glory. The other night when I heard those angels, I'm telling you, when I heard the heavenly choir, they were not singing what we were singing. They were singing the songs of the angels. It was the most beautiful thing. I've heard the angels sing before when they were singing with us. But I heard them singing their song, and it was like the choir, a heavenly choir. I did not see them, and I was afraid to open my eyes. I was afraid I wouldn't hear them. And it was so tremendous. And I thought, Lord, one day, we're going to see them and be joined with the angels of the Lord when we praise and worship the Lord. We think it's good sometimes here. That is nothing like that. What I heard. This was at the beginning of the worship service, night before last, I believe, when it was. And I was sitting there, and I was worshiping. The Lord had my eyes closed. And I wasn't singing. I was just listening. And I thought, I looked around at one time before I heard, really could discern. I didn't really know what it was when I first heard it. I knew what I thought it was. So I looked around and I thought, well, there's got to be a lot of people here I don't see. You know, there's just more behind me. So I looked back there and it wasn't back there. I looked back there and it wasn't over there. And so I thought, okay, Lord. And I was just praising the Lord and I heard it again. And when I heard, and it looked like it was coming, I was sitting like this. It was coming from that way. So glorious. I really can't tell you what I heard. And when Glenn, after we got through, you know, the praise had gone on for a long time, I did not hear it when all the commotion was starting. When I said commotion, our dance and all that, that was wonderful too. But I did not hear it then. But I heard it at the very beginning. I wept. I was crying. I was weeping up there because it did something in me. I never cried before. And I cry all the time, seems like now. But I was sitting there, and what I had heard had been so tremendous that the tears just began to flow down my face. And I was saying, I can't do that. You know, I didn't realize for a second that it was the Spirit of the Lord that was on me because he had allowed me to hear that. And it was just so tremendous. Linda came over, and she was buying the spirit of grief. I said, this is not grief. This is worship. And it was just wonderful. But anyway, it didn't cost anything either, but I'm telling you, it was tremendous. And I don't know, I'm sure some others heard it. I don't know who all heard it, but it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Where was I going? Oh, Ephesians. I didn't read it, did I? And verse 1, chapter 2, he says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He said, this spirit, when we were walked according to the prince of the air, the prince who is Satan, of the air. He said that this spirit that's now, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh now, is still at work now in children that are disobedient to God. This same spirit is the spirit we're dealing with. By the way, think about this. The Lord just quickened this to me, that if you're praying to someone that doesn't know the Lord, bind the spirit of the prince of the power of the air that's working in the children of disobedience and rebellion. So if you've got children that are not walking with the Lord, start binding that spirit in them. And break soul tie with the God of this world. I said bind the spirit, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's working. So what you want to do is bind the spirit of the prince of the power of the air that is working in disobedient children that have just rebelled against God in his word. Yeah, it's Ephesians 2:2. And verse 3 says, among whom also We all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. See, we were children of wrath until we came to know Jesus. And so our children are under this prince now, and we need, let me tell you, the three spirits that we have to overcome. What did he say? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So here we've got the prince of the power of the air, and up here he's talking about the lust of the flesh. So you need to bind the spirit that's controlling the flesh, that lust of the flesh, and then I said spirit of the flesh, so and then bind the lust of the eyes, because the eyes, what the eyes see, if you've got somebody that spends a lot of money and goes shopping, goes buy things they don't need, you need to bind that spirit of the lust of the eyes. Everything they see, they want. You've seen people that go shopping and just buy because they can, and they don't bit more need it than anything, and then they just, but they're controlled by the spirit that the lust that's in their eyes, lust for things, and where the flesh lusts for food, and this is another spirit you can bind over the keep from eating the lust of the flesh. You bind the lust of the flesh that's in you. I know that when I broke a soul tie, because I'm a strong believer in soul ties, with buying, shopping, and buying things I didn't need, that it's hard for me to buy anything anymore. I didn't need them, but I would go out and I'd see them and I'd buy it. And then I'd end up taking it back, because I didn't need that after I got home. And then while I was there, I bought something else. It was terrible. It really was. I'm just telling you. We can break a soul tie. I broke a soul tie with shopping. And then I bound that spirit of lust of the eyes and rebuked it and said, no way, you're not going to rob me of any more and of anything else. And so we need to work on ourselves in that area, because those are the three spirits that really control us. Pride, we're proud. We don't want anybody to know we got demons. This is what I say about ministers. After we've been over here doing deliverance and in a deliverance camp, every one of us ministers need to go get deliverance. And so we've been getting deliverance all along. You know, they've been calling everybody up there, working on them. They didn't call me up there, but I get it anyways. They forget I'm there. That's okay. I get deliverance anyways. But we need to get rid of the pride of life. We don't want anybody to know we've got a demon. I've had people say, can I come to you for a private session? Yeah. You sure can? In the middle of the floor. It's as private as you're going to get. Well, nobody cares. They just want you free. But if you're so full of pride, we'll go on pride first. If you want a private session, we'll go after pride first. Because that is really what keeps us from getting deliverance. And in a group like this, most of us wouldn't do it here now because we know about deliverance and want deliverance. But if you've got a large group, and I always say that we do better up here than we do downstairs, because you girls, some of your husbands are there, and you won't get deliverance around them. Some people won't let their husbands know they might need it. And especially if we went after Jezebel. Yeah, that's what that is. Now I know what's wrong with my wife. She's got Jezebel. Well, I just say, well, and it said that to me. I said, well, you wouldn't have a Jezebel if we didn't have an Ahab. And we need to get rid of the Ahab out of you. Okay? So we go after pride first in us. That's pride of life. Then lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh. And those are the things in every area. If you go back to where Jesus was tempted, after his 40-day fast, what was he tempted on? All three of those spirits. And he overcame them, which shows us that we can overcome them if we will. Okay, Galatians 5. Let's go back and look at that. Galatians 5, verse 16. Let's look at some of the things that's in the flesh. In Galatians 5, verse, I think I said, let's say 15 or 16. 16. Paul says, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, we all will walk in spirit, Lord, but there's so much in our flesh that it pulls us and drives us more than we can yield to the Spirit of God. That's why deliverance is so important. He says, well, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, as we're getting free from this, you can find it's easier for you to obey the Lord. It's easier for you to hear the voice of the Lord. And as we get delivered from these things, we need to ask God to fill us with His presence. And one of the things we really need to be filled with is the fear of the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you're going to watch what you say and what you do. And I really believe there's very little fear of the Lord in most of us. I think we just say, now, Lord, you understand. I've said that to the Lord many times. Now, Lord, you know me. You understand. But now I say, Lord, you know what's in me, and I want it out. I don't want anything here that will hinder me from hearing the Lord. Because you see, God says, my people, my sheep, hear my voice. And another's voice, they won't follow. But the thing is, with all this other stuff in there talking and doing the things, that's, as I said, why deliverance is so important. We hear so many times the enemy instead of the voice of the Lord. And we think, the devil will make you think it's the, I said the devil, I'm talking about demons. They'll make you think that it's the Holy Spirit. For a long time, the woman in my church, that I had to convince her, she was talking, listening to the devil, that spirit in her, she had let him become the voice of the Holy Ghost to her. And I said, you're going to have to discern. The word says, try the spirits. Why do you think John said, try the spirits? Because we've got to know what spirit's talking to us, whether it be God or whether it's the spirit of the enemy. And many times when people get up and do things that they're out of order doing and haven't consulted the Lord in that area, and it's a lot of things we do, you know, that we do because we listen to the wrong voice. They need to try the Spirit and say, Lord, if this is you, you confirm it and show me what that it is you. Amen? I told y'all I was going to show you this in the Word. Go to Romans chapter 7. Paul said in Romans 7, in verse 15, he said, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would do, what I would that do, I not. He said, what I want to do, I don't do. He said, what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Paul says, the very thing I don't want to do is the things that I do. We don't want to get angry. We don't want to get hurt. We don't want to get this. We don't want to run our mouth. But we do it because the flesh is working in us. The very thing we hate, the very thing I hate in someone else is usually what I'm doing myself. Okay? Your mouth going like this, criticizing people, backbiting, back talking behind their back and all this. God wants us to stop it and get cleaned up. I'm talking to me. So, well, I'm just judging. I'm just discerning, Lord. And the Lord says, no, you're not discerning. What are you doing? What is it? I got the spirit of a... So what is it? It's not discernment, it's spirit of criticism and judging. God says, we're to judge ourselves. Paul said, this is what I've been doing. The things that I want to do, I'm doing. He said, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul said, this is a sin in me that's making me do this. For I know that in me, that in my flesh. Now this is what I started out talking about was the flesh. And Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Did you know sin is a spirit? If you don't believe it, go over in I'm not going over there, but over in Genesis 4, when God told Cain that sin was waiting for him at the door after he slew Abel, he said, sin is at your door. It might have been before, but I know he said it, I think it was afterwards. Okay, going on here, he said, Paul said, I find then, a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. See, our mind is where the warfare goes on, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, now, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And then he goes on to say, but there's now no condemnation. I'm not going into 8, but what I wanted you to see, thank God for chapter 8. But he said, there's a war in you that's in your flesh. He said, it was in him. He said, the things I don't want to do is what I'm doing. Don't you find yourself doing the very thing you said, Lord, I just bow before the Lord, I'm not going to do it again. And I've come to the place and I said, Lord, if you don't help me, I can't overcome this, but I know with your help I can. And so what we do is we start binding. I've learned that God's given me the authority to bind and the ability to do it and to bind it, and bind everything in this flesh that's working that was contrary to God, that would keep us from obeying the Word of God. James tells us in James that what it is, he said in James chapter 4, he said, whence comes wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? See, we were talking about lust a while ago, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. He said the war within us is coming from the lust that's in us, lust of the eye and lust of the flesh. He said that ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet ye have not because you ask not. And then he says, when you ask, he says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. James said the war is within us. And he said, if we're fighting, and over in 2 Corinthians, Paul said we're not fighting flesh and blood, but we're fighting principalities and powers. Well, we're fighting the flesh right today. The principalities and powers are controlling the things in the flesh, and this is the thing that we need to do. Now, I was sharing on this. I had some deliverance I wanted to do, but I'm not going to get to do it right now. I want to finish this because I haven't finished the sermon yet. I've started, but I'm going to finish this one. I really need to because now we're going to go down and go over to Matthew chapter 16, okay? Verse 19. I quoted some of this a while ago, but I want you to look at it. I'm going to do a teaching on this kingdom of darkness one of these days, this gates of hell, this kingdom of darkness. But in Matthew in chapter 16 and verse 18, if you backed up and read through 13, I'm not going to do it. But your authority for binding, as you read this, is according to what your faith is in Jesus Christ and the authority he's given you. Jesus asked Peter and said, Peter, whom do men say that I am? And he said, some say you're Elijah, and some say you're Jeremiah. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it was revealed to him by the Spirit of God. God revealed to him who Jesus was. And then, and I told this when the Lord woke me up and taught me how to bind. He said, your binding works according to your faith in who I am, who Jesus Christ is. And he said in verse 18, he said, verse 17, he said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. He's not building the church upon Peter, as the Catholic Church taught. He's not building upon Peter as a rock, because Peter's name means rock. Petro, he was a little rock. He said, upon the rock of revelation, God's building the church on revealed revelation of who we are in him, the church, the body of Christ. And he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And he said to Peter, he said, now I will give unto you, wait a minute, listen to that. He said, I'm building my church, and the gates of hell, the gates of hell are the ruling demons. They're not the little echelons, they are the ruling demons. And God said that they will not prevail against his church when the church knows who they are and who Jesus is, who they are in Christ Jesus, and what God has given you and I. And when we know, and we really know that we know that we know who Jesus Christ is and the authority he's given us, we can come out, walk out from under sickness, we can walk out from under death. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about because the word is true and it doesn't lie. Jesus says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. Jesus has the keys of death and hell, and he gave them to you and I. Just like he gave us the keys of the kingdom of God. And the keys of the kingdom of God is binding and loosening. And what are we going to bind and loose? We're going to bind the enemy that's in this flesh, and then we're going to loosen it from us. When you bind it, you loosen it. Bind it, the demon that's operating, and say, I loose you from my body in the name of Jesus. Sickness, I bind you. I don't care if it is cancer of the lung. I bind you and I loose you from me in Jesus' name. I don't care if it's cancer or whatever. It's a demon spirit, and it's got to go when you believe it and do it yourself. You can only stand on it for yourself. Sure, you can pray for other people, but you don't know what they're believing. You don't know if they're tired and want to go home. You don't know if God intends for them to go home. But what He may be ready for them. He may be, and I don't know. I don't know what God wants, but I know this. He's giving me authority, and I believe I've got it, and I'm going to bind, and I'm going to loose, and I'm going to cast out whatever the Spirit of the Lord tells me. What I want you to do is to see. You got a headache? Bind it. Pain is a name. And bind it and loosen it from you. Get out of here. I bind you, spirit of pain. I command you to go in Jesus' name. I get excited sometimes. I get excited. Oh, glory, if we could only comprehend what God has given unto us, that He wants us to be overcomers. He wants us to walk into the kingdom power. See, the kingdom of God is within you. What is it? It's the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, the power and authority of God living within you and I. That we're walking in. You walk down the street and you walk by some drunk, he gets sober and says, hey, tell me about Jesus. It's the kingdom within you revealing Jesus. It's not you, it's His power and authority in you when we get rid of ourselves. But right now, everything's turned inward. I got this, I got that. I don't have anything. I don't even want anything. I just want Jesus. And when we want Him so bad that we'll lay down and roll in the floor if we have to, whatever it takes. A lady in my church said, I'll climb the swing from the chandelier if I have to. This lady was 87 years old. I picture her swinging from the chandelier. I didn't have a chandelier, but she was willing. God healed her of cancer of the blood. We have authority over this body. We were created out of the dirt. He made us out of the dust of the earth. He says, I've given you authority of everything I've created. And all of that authority and power is in the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. And when we realize that the Father always hears us when we come in the name of Jesus. He doesn't hear us because of who we are. He hears us because of who He is. I've been yelling too loud. That's okay, Lord. I'll yell till you come back. Okay, Proverbs. I want you to go to Proverbs. Chapter 26. No, excuse me, 18. I always do it that way. I'm sorry, Lord. I won't verse 26. I looked at it sideways. Oh, well, I just messed up as usual. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad God loves me. I'm so glad that the Lord loves and saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. If it hadn't been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. That's my solo today. Aren't y'all glad? That's over with. It's verse 21 instead of 26. I'm sorry. Y'all couldn't find it in 26, could you? I'm sorry. I behave, Lord. I really will. I got some water here. He says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, love the death and life, shall eat the fruit thereof. The fruit that we speak. What we speak, we either speak death or we speak life. Well, that just tickled me to death. You hear people say that? I laughed till I nearly died. You know, this came out when the charismatics first came. And so we backed away from what we were saying. I'm going to tell you, what you say has an awful lot to do with what you are. It has a lot to do with what you are. And so we need to watch what we say. You know, we had a lady in our church one time that I heard my husband say, you know what? She talks so much, she feels like the time's wasted if her tongue's not moving. And that was his opinion of her, and I thought, that's a terrible thing to say. He said, but it's the way she goes. He said that she really feels like that time, and he said, she needs to get deliverance for that. And I said, well, I don't know what that thing is. That's a long time ago. He said, there's got to be a motor mouth spirit. That I've never seen anything work as fast and as hard. Motor mouth spirit. But the thing that I see here, that what the Word is telling us, people, we need to watch what we say. I hear people say, and I said this the other day, and I might have said it yesterday, and I'll say it again till Jesus comes. People are confessing what they have instead of what the Word says about them. We need to confess. If people ask you how you are, I'm trying to hurry, I'm cutting my words off. We need to say, the Word says that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed 2,000 years ago. Or as Jesus over in Matthew 8, he said that, he cast out spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, according to Isaiah. So we need to say, Lord, your word is healing. The word is healing me. I'm being healed. I was healed. I am healed, and I shall be healed. And when we remember that what we speak, are we speaking life? If someone tells you about somebody that's sick, real sick, and may die, speak life to them, break the curse of the words. They just spoke death over somebody. Break the curse of the words of death that are spoken and loose the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Loose the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. I had a lady tell me the other day that the Lord told her he was going to resurrect her husband. I said, yep. When Jesus comes back, so is mine. It's going to be resurrected. Amen. People say, you live by yourself? I said, yeah, my husband's just gone home. They don't ask me where home is, so I don't tell them. You know, I would, but I don't want a lot of people knowing by myself, so I'm not going to lose words with my mouth, okay? Okay, I got one more scripture. No, I've got two more. Well, Romans, you know Romans 10 that says faith comes by hearing him by the word of God. We need to speak the word. You speak the word to your flesh. You speak the word to the sickness. You take the scripture and you speak the word to it. And if you have any trouble with it, bind the words, the scripture to your flesh. Bind it in the name of Jesus. Okay? Okay, let's go to Isaiah 43 real quick. I think that's the one I want this time. Isaiah 43, verse 26. I'm about through. I'm going to wind this down real quick. The word says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together that thou may be justified. He said, when I look at that word over in Isaiah 1, I think it's 118, he said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Come and let us reason together. Well, here he's telling us, he said, put me in remembrance what my word says. Now, God knows what his word said, but what we're doing, we're taking the word that says that by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed, that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction, which is Psalms 107, verse 20. So we said, Lord, this is your word, and you said that, put you in remembrance. You said, come and let us reason with you. Now, Lord, the only thing I have to reason with is your word. And now this is what your word said, and I'm reminding you of it. I know God knows his word, but he's wanting to know if I know it. And if I really believe it, you know, we can quote the word and still not believe it. I've heard so many people quote it and turn right around and undo everything they said with their mouth. And over in, there's one more, Isaiah 55 and verse 11. I want to use that one. I think Frank used it, or quoted it this morning, but I want us to look at it. The Lord gave me this a long time ago. When I pray the word, I've been praying the word for years. I started off praying Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 17 through 23, chapter 4, and 14 through 21, and over in Galatians, over in Philippians, and over in Colossians. The prayer that Paul prayed when he wrote those letters, I put them in a book and had prayed them for years. I prayed that God would give me revelation knowledge of his word. That was one of the scriptures. And God began to open the word up to me. And so we need to pray this word. He said in verse 11 of chapter 55, he said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. He said, it shall not return unto me void. God's word never returns void. It will accomplish. It shall accomplish that which I please, which he pleases, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. He sent his word, and he healed us. Psalms 107, verse 20, he said he sent his word and healed them of their diseases and delivered them from their destruction. It's the word, people. It's God's word. As we stand upon it, as we claim it, as we profess it, and as faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, as you speak the word and as you stand upon this, you will see it growing in your spirit, that when the enemy attacks you in some place in your body, you will use the word against it and stand upon it and believe for it to work in you. It's his word. It never fails. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will endure forever. He said he honored the word above all of his name. He said, Jesus spoke this, said, not one dot, no one tittle of the word would ever fail. Why it fails is because of our unbelief. And he says, faith comes by hearing. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you these ladies are listening so attentively. And Lord, I bind the word to a spirit, not my words, Lord, but the word that I read of yours, that it may bring fruit in our lives, that we might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that you might be glorified. Lord, let the word become be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our pathway. Let us hide your word in our heart, Father, that we might not sin against you. And let us stand upon that word that said it's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, that it will make alive our mortal bodies, that it will quicken our mortal bodies. Lord, I thank you for the word, that you've given us authority, and that the authority is in our mouth, because your word says that your word is quick and sharp and powerful as a two-edged sword, and it works only as we speak it and believe it. And Lord, we thank you for it. Now, Father, I pray as we go down to the afternoon services for deliverance, that we will believe for what we need from you as we go forth, that whatever the need is, that we'll go into that service expecting to receive it when deliverance comes forth. If they don't call it out from the pulpit, that we will demand it to leave of our own within us. We'll command it out of us in Jesus' name. And Father, we praise you and give you glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed, ladies. I appreciate you listening. I was determined to finish the sermon. I hadn't finished one this week.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.